I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News, Black Men and HIV/AIDS. Later in the program, we'll tell you about a new book that focuses on the stories of 10 men living with HIV. Their stories of courage, loss, and vulnerability may surprise you. That's a little later. But first, a newsmaker interview with the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, Morgan Tsvangirai. On this program, we have followed Mr. Tsvangirai's journey closely, from his days as an opposition leader when he was beaten and harassed by supporters of the ruling party, to his current status as Prime Minister, a position he took after lengthy negotiations with longtime President Robert Mugabe. Now Mr. Tsvangirai has embarked on another leg of a difficult journey, persuading the United States and Europe to support the unity government in Zimbabwe. Many Western governments have been skeptical that President Mugabe wants to engage in democratic reforms. Mr. Tsvangirai met last week with President Barack Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton to discuss some of these issues. We met with Prime Minister Tsvangirai at his hotel on Friday, just a few minutes after his meeting with President Obama, and I asked him whether he thought his talks were successful.
I want to confirm that the talks have been very successful. From an initial position where we've had so many comments about there's no progress in Zimbabwe, to a situation where the president was able to offer concrete support. The Secretary of State was even the first meeting we had. And so I think that this has been a very productive visit.
Did they place any conditions on support for your government?
The only condition which we accept is that the resources that are being made available to Zimbabwe should not be channeled through the government machinery.
Well, what will be the vehicles then for providing support?
We have adopted a policy of aid coordination architecture in which the government and the donors define the priorities and define the method of disbursement and accountability.
Were there assurances that these donors will not be interfered with in their work? As you, of course, know better than anyone, there were concerns during the campaign that,
yes,
you know, food aid and all that were directed toward one political side over another, and it was used as a political weapon. Do you have any
assurances? Well, we have moved away from that. But, of course, this is part of our history, and I want to say that since the new political dispensation, all those activities have been stopped because we want to see food be available to everyone, regardless of their political affiliation. So I can assure you that, and the American people, that these funds will be dispersed to Zimbabweans, not the government such as an institution, but the people of Zimbabwe.
Many people wish you well. Many people certainly wish the people of Zimbabwe well, but they continue to be skeptical that the unity government can function effectively. Do you believe it's functioning?
Well, I told President Obama that as to the functionality of government, you can only go by what has already been achieved. There's been progress in ensuring that schools have opened, health delivery system has opened, our nurses are back, our doctors are back, our teachers are back. Inflation has been cut from 500 billion percent to 3% in 3 months. Goods are available in the shops. People don't need to go through to South Africa to obtain basic needs. And so that is progress. We have accepted that there's going to be a new constitutional process for the people, that there's going to be media freedoms. However, I'll be the last one to say everything is 100% perfect. We, of course, have got our own shortcomings according to our own benchmarks in terms of the global political agreement, and we'll be working on that. And that is the one that sometimes causes the skepticism.
You mentioned South Africa. As of course you know, over the last couple of years, there have been significant numbers of people leaving the country to go to South Africa, and that has its own dynamic. Has that out-migration stopped, to your knowledge? Are any people starting to return?
Well, largely, a lot of migration has been influenced by, not as political refugees. Of course, there were some, but the majority of them were economic refugees. Yeah. And so, naturally, people drift to where there is potential. Since the government was launched, there's been a sudden drop of people moving to South Africa because the cross-border trade was affected by the policy of government to the extent that goods are now available in the country.
But whether they need to go or not, are they still going?
Well, I think it's a trickle because, I mean, the intra-regional trade between Zimbabwe and South Africa is always the reality. And so there will always be people moving to South Africa. They want to increase the trade in their own business activities.
But presumably trade would go both ways. Are you seeing any sign that people are starting to return home?
Oh, yes. There has been a significant drop. And also the fact of people looking at Zimbabwe, at their home, as opportunities are created.
You also mentioned press freedom as a concern for you. For a long time, Addressing the loss of independent media in Zimbabwe has been something that you have talked about. During your visit to the States, President Mugabe blocked Zimbabwe journalists from attending a meeting of African heads of state. How do you explain this? Do you have any influence on this kind of
behavior?
There's
no legal basis for that. To be honest, I obtained before I left the interpretation of our current laws with regards to independent or external media. There is no basis in the absence of a media commission to prevent anyone from covering Zimbabwe. It may just have been an act of defiance, and I don't know by who, but to me, it is illegal. And we are only working now to establish the Zimbabwe Media Commission so that it can license radios, it can license international journalists, it can license other newspapers. So if we are moving towards that direction, why would anyone put spanners in the works over such an incident?
Why would they?
I'm not there, so therefore I'm not able to explain the circumstances.
Sure.
But if that happened, then certainly it was illegal.
The official state-run paper, The Herald, has reported that Mr. Mugabe has tasked you with lifting travel restrictions on him and his inner circle. Is that true?
No, that's not true. This initiative to go and re-engage the world has nothing to do with the lifting of restrictions or any other restrictions. It is my initiative, having realized that the country has been isolated for the last 10 years. Not because of the reasons of the international community, because of the behavior of our own selves inside the country, which the international community could not tolerate. I mean, how can the international community tolerate abuses that are so blatant? How do you set up your army, your police, against your own unarmed civilians? I mean, and expect the world to fold arms and watch this in abuse taking place. So we have to accept that previous indiscretions on our part caused these restrictions. And it is only incumbent upon us to make sure that we correct ourselves in the behavior that is acceptable for our own good, because we want our people to be free. We want our people to enjoy economic opportunities. And therefore, when the world is setting up these benchmarks, they're not doing it necessarily for themselves. They're doing it for your own.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're speaking with Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai of Zimbabwe. We visited with him on his visit to the United States. Prime Minister, I think I would be remiss if I did not offer my condolences. We have been following your journey for a very long time, and you have suffered greatly in the course of your journey to this point, and recently, a couple of months ago, lost your wife and your grandson in two tragic accidents. May I first extend my condolences?
Thank you very much.
And may I ask, how are you doing?
Well, Michelle, the problem really is that it is an irreversible personal loss. Susan and I had traveled a very tough journey together for almost 31 years of marriage. We had gone through all trials and tribulations, but we also had our moments of triumphs. It is unfortunate that at the dawn of trying to see a new Zimbabwe, she passed away. In her own opinion, I bless her soul. I'm sure she would be the first one to say, don't retreat. And I say so with the full conviction of her determination to see a new Zimbabwe. It is unfortunate, but my family would not have accepted me to retreat. My party would not have accepted, even the people of Zimbabwe. The outpouring of grief was a demonstration of how profound they were touched by these accidents and my loss, because to them, my loss is their loss. And perhaps there was even a fear that I might give up. So what will replace that? So I'm really touched by that. And I think it makes our grief less.
I did want to ask you, what is the source of your strength and stamina? I had the opportunity to speak with you on an earlier visit to the United States, and I was just still interested to know, how do you maintain your stamina and your optimism?
Well, my motivation is really the people. You know, when people place faith in you, you actually have a burden of responsibility to ensure that you fulfill their expectation and hope. Because if you are the only hope available, it is very disappointing then to disappoint them on the question of what they are expecting their lives to be. So perhaps I represent that hope. And because of that, I also have to owe them, the people who support me, and who have supported me through thick and thin.
What is your most pressing request of the international community at this time?
Well, our most pressing request is that, look, Zimbabwe is emerging out of a political conflict. We are almost a post-conflict situation, and that it is not just sufficient to talk about humanitarian support. I think we need to go beyond that and say that what has emerged in Zimbabwe is a process, a transitional process that must be supported. And therefore, you need that transitional support in various other government needs in order to make that government respond to the needs of the people.
What are you most optimistic about and what are you most concerned about as you return to Zimbabwe after this trip?
I'm optimistic that Zimbabweans will not allow us to descend back to the situation we have experienced over the last 10 years, much more acutely over the last 3 years. They won't allow that. No one across the political divide will accept that situation. So I'm more optimistic about the support we receive from the people. I'm pessimistic about the process of implementation of all that what we have agreed in the global political agreement. And I think I'm pessimistic because there are various forces, some of whom resisting because, you know, you have undermined their ability to defend the status quo, their ability to continue to feed on the patronage that has existed over the years. So I'm pessimistic about that. But I'm very hopeful that the majority of Zimbabweans are cautiously optimistic.
And finally, next year we'll see World Cup hosted in South Africa, the first time this tournament will be hosted on the African continent. Do you care to hazard a prediction about who will prevail?
Well, let the best team win. But in my hope of hope, I hope that there is an African team that will go to the finals and hopefully win the team. It's not a South African World Cup, it's our World Cup. And we feel just emotionally as attached to this challenge like any other World Cup.
Can I press you to a prediction?
No.
Which team? Spoken like a diplomat.
Thank you.
Morgan Tsvangirai is the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe. He was kind enough to visit with us on his visit to Washington, D.C. Prime Minister, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you.